Welcome to Carbon Compass by Brundtland, where we explore meaningful conversations around driving South Africa towards a more sustainable future. This podcast is brought to you by Brundtland, where we use our in-house expertise to break down complex climate and sustainability topics in a way that is accessible and actionable. Brundtland is a purpose-built consultancy committed to empowering people to create a sustainable planet. We help key stakeholders navigate these complexities of a carbon-constrained world while balancing the needs of today with the ability of future generations to meet their needs in a responsible and equitable manner. Having successfully issued and commercialized over 7.5 million carbon credits across various sectors and technologies, Brundtland has established itself as a leading carbon revenue generation partner in Southern Africa. I'm Dumo Shezi, a sustainability consultant at Brundtland, and I will be your host for today's episode. I'm joined yet again by Jan Willem Timmer, a principal consultant and our resident CBAM expert here at Brundtland. With over a decade of experience across economics, public policy, and climate change, Jan Willem brings a deep understanding of global climate regulation. He holds qualifications in economics, law, and finance from Maastricht University, Harvard Law University, and the University of Oxford, a background that makes him especially well-equipped to unpack the European Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, or CBAM, a policy tool at the crossroads of trade, climate, and global markets. In the last episode, we covered some of the basics of CBAM. We discussed what it is, how it works, and some of the ways it has developed. In today's episode, we'll focus on the practical side of CBAM for businesses particularly, looking at compliance, the costs and opportunities that arise due to CBAM, the general sentiments towards CBAM, and how South African businesses can prepare for its implementation. So let's talk about compliance. What do companies actually need to do to comply with CBAM, and what might make that difficult in practice?
Well, obviously, it's mostly about emissions, right? So the emissions that are embedded in their product, that's the official term in Europe, and you need to be able to measure those and report those. And that's on a per product basis. And that's, in that sense, it's different from the EUTS, where installations report. And, this can go sort of, it's your emissions, but in certain cases, you also need to go upstream to report what they call precursor emissions. And that information might be difficult to get. And that is sort of what you need to put together. It concerns direct and indirect emissions. So emissions associated with your electricity use. And this is what the importers, EU importers of your product, your South African product, will require from you or will ask you to deliver to them. And on that basis, the CBAM will be calculated and they will have to pay the levy.
So in the South African context, do you think that companies that export to Europe are generally prepared for CBAM?
In general, I don't think so. We, as Brundtland, we've assisted two quite large companies that export relevant products. But if you hear in Europe and read the news in Europe, and what the European Commission is reporting, then very few companies still report. So they had certain expectations of which companies would report, would put in their CBAM submission, and it's far below that still. And I think that still also reflects in South Africa, as we are still getting calls from companies to assist them, even though we are really on our way with the implementation, right? It's now July 2025. So it's been going on for a while.
Interesting. And still keeping in mind the South African context, what might be some of the costs of preparing for CBAM for a company exporting to Europe?
Well, you have to do it according to the European MRV rules. So you need someone who's an expert in that, probably, because you are unlikely to have that expertise in-house. But it's also important to realize that it doesn't stop just with reporting, right? So during the actual definitive phase, when companies have to start paying, they will also require the emissions to be verified independently. And it will, for example, also bring a cost.
And what are some of the benefits or opportunities that exist for these companies?
You can keep trading with Europe. So they will need to report this information to the commission, and they will request it with you as sort of the producer. And if they don't provide it, then either they get quite heavy fines, which are really significant there, can go up to 100 euro per ton of CO2, or they will, now with the recently introduced rules, have to apply default factors. And these default factors, they will be punitive, because they really want you to sort of to incentivize you to report actual emissions, to get the accurate data in, and so not to use defaults. And to do that, they propose to put a markup on these defaults. That will make your CBAM cost higher and will make you less competitive in the EU.
Thank you. I think you already touched on some of the consequences that might arise from not complying with CBAM. So I'll move on to the next question. So let's step back a bit. CBAM will affect not just areas outside of the EU, but also within the EU itself. What are the general sentiments to CBAM? Is it generally positive, or does it vary across all the trade partners to the EU? Can we unpack those, please?
I think it's generally been received as positive because it provides protection against carbon leakage. So in that sense, companies are EU installations are really in favor. But you can also hear that they don't think it goes far enough. Most of industry are really advocating to go further downstream. So not just tax primary steel or aluminium, but actually tax the car that they make it of. So that's some of the concerns. And then also quite a few industries that are currently not covered, they are actually in favor of being covered going forward. So that's the plastics we talked about in the beginning, or chemicals that we spoke about earlier. Now, if you look at the sentiment overseas, that's also important, right? So, for example, in South Africa or in some of the other countries that are highly affected, then they, of course, are less happy because it's going to make them less competitive from a cost of carbon perspective. So South Africa really sees it, and that's also the official government sort of statement on this, as a protectionist measure. It's unilaterally imposed. And in that sense, they are very much against it.
What other global changes do we expect to see going forward, either in response to CBAM or in tandem with its implementation?
Now, that's an interesting question, because apart from providing or creating a level playing field for European industry in terms of the ETS cost, one of the stated objectives of the CBAM was by the European Union is to sort of stimulate other countries also to start implementing their carbon pricing systems, so or actually raising the effectiveness thereof, because as we've seen, you're allowed to deduct these costs, right? So the idea is to stimulate that, so that the revenue is not going to Brussels, but it stays in the country, and in our case goes to SARS, for example. So that's one of the things, and there are already signs that is happening. So carbon pricing is increasing across the world, and it's becoming more effective. And another effect is that in conjunction with this, you see other countries and regions now talking about introducing their own CBAMs. So when they increase their carbon pricing to protect their own industry in a similar way. And now the UK is very far ahead with this already, but other countries such as Canada and the US, they are also actively discussing it. It is important to note, though, that you do need to have an effective carbon price domestically by yourself, right? Otherwise, you can't put a tax at the border on imports. Then you would get in trouble with the WTO, probably, the World Trade Organization.
So it sounds like we're heading for a world where carbon tracking is becoming part of doing business more internationally.
Yeah, correct. It definitely looks that way. And that's also a very good development, right, in my opinion, as it is a very real problem, climate change, and we need to get serious about it very quickly. So the more we can do on a global stage as well, the better, I would say.
Apart from just complying, what else can South Africa and South African businesses do to protect themselves from the effects of CBAM?
Well, the obvious answer there is decarbonization, of course, I would say. So investing in greener technologies. And it is not only the companies itself, of course, but it's also the South African electricity grid, which is famous for being so carbon intensive, like also compared to other countries. Indirect emissions will be included probably at some point. So you already have to report on them now. In the definitive phase, there's still exceptions, such as iron and steel. But at some point, these emissions will also be covered. And that's for good reason, right? Because the power sector in Europe has already been phased out from free allocation for a long time. So there's the full effective price is on that. Yeah, again, to create that fair level playing field, it's important to include that. So I think that's the main reason, or the main solution, obviously, and that's what they want to stimulate. Other than that, even further strengthen the South African carbon tax. Yeah, again, you can deduct that. So these are some of the things, in addition to obviously reporting your emissions accurately to EU importers, and do that on a not on a default basis, but on actual emissions basis, and take it from there.
Thank you. So to summarize some of the key insights that you brought forward in this episode, we've noted that CBAM compliance is complex but essential, especially for exporters to the EU, and that building robust MRV systems, gathering accurate emissions data, and staying ahead of policy changes can protect businesses from the financial and reputational risk that CBAM brings. Jan Willem, are there any other takeaways that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, as I said just now, report your emissions accurately when importers, EU importers, ask for it. There are going to be changes. They are going to review it at the end of this year, the EU Commission, and probably broaden the scope, both horizontally, so include more sectors, and vertically, so including a bigger part of the value chain, most likely downstream. And stay on top of developments, I would say.
Thanks again to Jan Willem for helping us unpack the practical realities of CBAM. And again, a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in to our CBAM series. As we have already noted, CBAM is still an evolving policy tool, and so be on the lookout for more of our thoughts on CBAM. In the second part of our discussion on CBAM, we explore the practicalities of CBAM implementation, especially for South African businesses, and how best to prepare, what's at stake, and some opportunities that may arise from CBAM. We've also discussed why CBAM has sparked strong reactions both within and outside of the EU. If you found today's episode useful, please consider leaving a review or sharing it with your network to help grow our community. You can also learn more about Brundtland's work at www.brundtland.co.za or follow our LinkedIn page. For business inquiries, reach out via email at info@brundtland.co.za or give us a call on 011-4477-892, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Carbon Compass.